welcome to back to the Monday Night Wars. It is the 19th of May. I'm Cab Manning along with Mr. Billy Body.
Hi.
And we're on our way back to 1997 when shit was good, baby. We're going to start off with Raw this week for you. And they do a review right off the bat of Bret getting super kicked out of his wheelchair because last week, as you know, they went off the air before Bret could shut the fuck up and get kicked. So we also, you know, we played the clip last week of it because on the network they actually play it all the way through. After they fade to black, they pop right back on. But Raw as a whole, you wouldn't have seen it. So they have to show you the replay. What was your thoughts on when that first happened?
I can't remember it happening that back at the time, but as watching it back, I was like going, Bret Hart was so off point. It's like, I can see for once why Shawn Michaels was pissed off. Because it's like, Bret Hart wasn't on point. He was just saying things that didn't relate to the last point and was literally just insulting him mercilessly. While Shawn Michaels is there like fucking looking down at him like chewing gum. It was actually pretty dumb, to be honest.
He was kind of telling him to hurry up. He was even giving the let's go thing to him.
I mean, wasn't it even like promoted as like a surprise or something like, oh, Bret Hart's got a surprise announcement or something. And it's just like, he just brought him out there to insult him. And Shawn Michaels is standing out there in his fucking
He's got his dick in his face.
His brown t-shirt and his like cream trousers. Like, this guy was always the worst.
Cream trousers.
He was the worst dressed person ever as well.
Oh, fuck. Just the word cream and trousers together is the greatest thing I've ever fucking heard. Welcome to the cream trousers show. First clip is Austin being interviewed by JR. HBK shows with an Aunt Jemima headband. Owen and Bulldog show up with Anvil on the Titantron.
Damn right I want to address my actions of last week. I want to clear something up right now. I don't give a rat's ass about Shawn Michaels. The only reason I came out was because the Hart Foundation turned their back. I saw the cheap shot. I damn well took it, and that's the only reason I came out last week. I will say this, as far as Shawn Michaels is concerned, he can thank his lucky stars that Stone Cold was there because it looked like he was about to take a hell of an ass whipping. The Hart Foundation runs in a pack, but I'm weeding my way through that pack with Shawn Michaels. Without him, it don't really matter. Shawn Michaels goes his way, I go mine. The fact is, the Hart Foundation is the common denominator, but if you think for one split second that the two... I ain't your friend, but I got no problem with you. Tell you something, son. It wasn't too long ago when the Heartbreak Kid did the same thing for you. And you know something? You shouldn't flatter yourself. I didn't do it to save your ass either. I did it because I hate the Hart Foundation just as much as every other guy in the World Wrestling Federation. Now, let me make one thing perfectly clear to you. I have fallen off ladders long before you ever got here, son. I have been tossed off of the top of 15-foot-high steel cages long before you got here, son. And I'll tell you what, I might have gotten thrown off that stage up there, and you're damn right, it would have hurt. But the Heartbreak Kid would have picked himself back up and gotten right back in the game again. So believe me, You didn't do me any favor. I ain't saying you ain't tough. What I'm saying is, you might as well take your little bandana and go backstage before I kick your damn teeth down your throat. So, you're telling me, the master of the sweet chin music, that you're gonna kick my teeth down your throat?
Damn right.
Well, let me tell you something. The Heartbreak Kid may just stun you and stomp your guts in, and that, my friend, is the bottom line, whether you like it or not.
Yourselves. You can't even get along between the two of you. You know, I wish Brett was here to see these two morons fighting amongst themselves. But don't worry, Brett is going to be here in a few minutes. But Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin, look at you. You're both fighting for the same cause. You both want to get me and Bulldog and the Anvil and the whole Hart Foundation, but you can't even get along with each other.
Yeah.
But let me make it all a lot simpler for you. We will issue you a challenge to step in the ring with me and the Bulldog for these belts if you can get your crap together next week for the belts if you got the guts and you can get your crap together. Look at those morons fighting amongst themselves.
A couple of chumps!
Losers. Losers.
I'll be more than happy to find a partner. But if those two Nimrods can't figure out that me and this SOB can't get along, it ain't gonna be me and Stone Cold. They want a partner, they want to fight. I'll go back there, I'll find myself a partner, and next week I'll come out and clean some house.
You ain't cleaning nothing up at the toilet. I don't need your sorry ass. What I'm gonna do, because Gorilla Monsoon says I have to in this type of federation, I'll find some piece of crap that weighs 75 pounds, or he might be 75 years old. But the bottom line is, it ain't gonna be you in my corner, because I don't need nobody in my corner.
You know something, the only toilet I'm gonna clean.
I think, King, the next time you can do this interview.
No thanks. I'm loving it, though. I love to see these two morons beat their each other's brains out. This is great, Ross.
All right, so we're going to get a team together with Austin and Shawn Michaels. How about this? This is the dream team, right?
Allegedly, yeah. That's what they're saying.
Exactly. King of the Ring match, and I don't even believe these are qualifiers. They're just actually round ones, they say. And it's Crush versus Triple H. Now, talk about a fucking disaster. And I'm going to...
These are quarterfinals already. Like, they don't even... They only have eight guys.
Yeah. Yeah, this isn't the first round, because this is... why is Triple H in this, actually? Because he lost last week.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this is the whole, he wasn't told the rules of the tournament.
Well, let's hear it from Mr. Briscoe.
Briscoe is standing by, and Jerry, if you don't mind, We'll go to Mr. Briscoe here momentarily. What is the ruling, and why is Mr. Helmsley in this match after being eliminated last week?
Well, last week in the pre-match instructions given by referee Timmy White, he erred by informing Hunter Hearst Helmsley that he could only advance by pinfall or submission. Therefore, to avoid any legal action on the part of Mr. Helmsley, Hunter Hearst Helmsley will be given the slot tonight occupied by Vader against the match Crush, his opponent.
Okay, so the WWE is not sued by Mr. Helmsley, his attorney. They let him back in the tournament because he was told the only way he could win or lose is by pinfall or submission. So he thought he could fucking just use foreign objects and not get disqualified and not move on. What happened? Did somebody, who the fuck is got, like, not in this because of this? And they said, oops, what a mistake. Let's get fucking...
Oh, Triple H.
Ahmed in and him? I don't know why they fucking did this.
Then why didn't you just have Ahmed beat Crush because they're in a feud anyway and just have Triple H beat someone else this week? Like, what the fuck? Man, I can only think, right,
mm-hmm.
that he could not have been the winner of this tournament, like, at last week's plan, right?
Yeah.
So they came to this week and they were like going, actually, who's gonna win? I don't know, but Ahmed needs to qualify. All right, cool. Ahmed's gonna qualify. Next week, who's gonna win then? Oh, how about Triple H? Oh, we put him out last week. Oh, we gotta get him back in. That's all it could be, because they eliminated him, so he wasn't winning.
That is so bizarre. He fucking wins this and they had him eliminated. It's like, what?
Yeah, so he definitely wasn't winning. That's what I'm saying.
So yeah, you wonder who the fuck was gonna win this. Here is, and I didn't pull the clip. I actually had it written down and I took it away because I figured people need to go see it more than hear it. It's more of a sight to see than something to hear. And it's Alabama.
You know, I think
people.
Was going to win it. You know, I think it was obviously going to win it was Ahmed.
See, that's I the first thing I thought. I go, would Ahmed have fucking won this? King
yeah, because he turned basically this night, didn't he? And then he went on to Taker, like, so he could have just had that for credibility, I guess.
I don't think he turns here. He's
not here on this night, but at the King of the Ring, the actual King of the Ring. See. Well, not necessarily. Well, even
well,
then,
don't
not really.
Spoil shit here, motherfucker. I have no fucking clue. I haven't gotten there. So this is the King in the back talking to people from Alabama, who are wishing Bob Holly good luck. And
I sent you this clip in the group chat at the time. It was so good.
At the time, yeah. And he talks to a guy and his son that are fucking wrestling fans' dream. This
all right,
tell me,
tell me, do you think this is real or legit? Because I think it felt like it was real.
Oh, 100% real. Without even a fucking hesitation, 100% real. This is just hillbilly, because they didn't have fucking lines. They would have made them come up with lines and shit if it was bullshit, but they were kind of like stumped on stupid shit that he was asking them, like, so how many cars are on your lawn? And he would fucking say, I think he said how many, there was a couple, or he said it was tough to say or something like that, and then it was, if you and your wife got divorced, would you still be brother and sister? And it fucking, the guy's like head started to smoke. It was like, yeah, is that a hard one to fucking think?
It did feel like it was real.
Oh, and then the son looked like he was a product of a brother and sister.
Because
he had Derek Montilla's teeth and fucking eyes were on the side of his head. It was a fucking rough, like, hillbilly boy shit. Where when you think of Arkansas and Alabama and all that kind of shit and Kentucky, that's what you fucking imagine over here. So if you want to, go back to watch that fucking thing. You could probably YouTube it. Bob Holly versus Owen Hart not for the Intercontinental title. And it was funny because I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this, that Bob Holly raved about this, I think, when Owen died. And he said, you know, Owen went and volunteered and said, I'll lose to Bob Holly. It's his hometown. Let him get a win. Nowadays, you're forced to lose in your hometown.
Yeah.
Bayley comes here to defend the title and she fucking loses. Like, now you get punished for being in your hometown. In the back, you have HBK looking for a partner, and Austin's also looking for a partner in the back because they said they won't be partners. Fuck this. They refuse. Next week, they won't be partners. And so you have HBK with Ken Shamrock in the back, and then we follow that up with JR doing a sit-down interview with Mankind. Everyone remembers this, where this was getting Mankind to be human and get him to be a good guy. Have a listen.
Welcome back, everybody, to WWF Raw. Standing by Shawn Michaels, along with the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. And Shawn, we heard the challenge earlier of the WWF Tag Champions. They said for you to find a partner. I guess this is kind of obvious, but have you found your man?
Well, you know something, you look around, and you think to yourself, this is a dangerous situation. So what do? There's only one guy to pick. You pick the most dangerous man in the world, and that is Ken Shamrock. And this is a man I can count on and trust. Ken Shamrock is going to be the man that helped Shawn Michaels defeat the British Bulldog and Owen Hart.
Well, Shawn, I got to say it's a great privilege and honor for someone of your stature in the WWF to pick someone like myself who hasn't had a lot of experience in WWF. And I can tell you this, you take care of Owen Hart, and I'll make sure the British Bulldog has his hands full with me, because when it's time to knuckle up, you can count on Ken Shamrock, the world's most dangerous man.
The only thing I'm asking from you is for you to be exactly what you are, the most dangerous man on the face of God's green earth.
So I had the opportunity this week to catch up with Mankind. This is very different. This is not like the Goldust interview. This is not about family and friends. Take a look at part one of our interview with Mankind.
Deranged. That's the word most often used to describe Mankind. The path of carnage he has carved through the World Wrestling Federation has made Mankind one of the most feared and hated superstars in the WWF. What makes a man love pain so much that he willingly mutilates his own body? Over the next few weeks, I'm going to take you on a different kind of odyssey, a 26-year journey of a young boy named Mick Foley, boyhood dreams turned into a living hell.
What do you think the biggest misconceptions are that the WWF fans have as it relates to Mankind?
That I'm a bad person. Jimmy, there's plenty of good reasons to hate me. I just don't want people to hate me for untruths and partial truths and rumors. You see, when I was a kid, I played cowboys and Indians. Now, who were the good guys? The cowboys coming over the hill to rape, pillage innocent women and children? I was always the Indian, Jimmy. I always stood for the underdog. That makes me a bad person standing up for what I believe in, and I guess you got me dead to rights. I'm a bad man.
Mick Foley wasn't like the other boys. He embraced physical pain as friend and companion.
I was 8 years old at Minnesaukee Elementary School playing a game of kill the guy with the ball, which may even be an Olympic sport these days. And in chasing one of the other students, I made a leap for his legs, and the back of his foot kicked me in the lip. And I didn't know what happened. I knew it hurt Jimmy. I knew it hurt bad. But all of a sudden, people started looking at me in a different way, like there was something wrong with me. I looked down at my Chicago Bears back in the days when they were 2-12 in the waning days of Dick Butkus. And my Chicago Bears white sweatshirt had suddenly turned red. And children were running from me, scared. I was bleeding. I was in pain. And I was loving it. Because I felt like I'd finally found something in my life that I could do better than everybody else. Handle pain. Someone said, "Oh, that's just vampire blood," and then saw the open wound from which the blood was flowing. I've still got that shirt, Jimmy, and I remember thinking, wouldn't it be nice if I could do something in my life where I could do this all the time? Get that attention every night. Stockbrokers can't do it. Teachers can't do it. The president of the United States can't bleed for a living, but pro wrestlers can. It's the first time that I realized that I had a calling in my life, and I followed it right down the line. That's all I wanted to do. My brother and I watched them all. Chief J. Strongbow, Bruno Sammartino, the Valiant Brothers. That's what we wanted to be. Then I broke his nose by backdropping him into his bedroom wall, and Mom said no more wrestling. But she didn't say no more dreaming.
Mick Foley continued to pursue his dream, but he paid a heavy price. The emotional scars of a strange childhood are still evident.
You know, I'm going to tell my son, when he gets to be 15, not to be the guy who eats strange things. I never exactly brought it upon myself. Other people in their cliques, for lack of a better word, they would gang up on me because I was different, because I acted different, looked different. They were throwing worms at me, Jimmy. Little wriggly worms they were throwing at me. Bending down in athletic class, doing my hurdler stretch, and there was a bombardment of worms being thrown at me. So what do you do to retaliate? Do you throw the worm back? Seven or eight people, it's not the fact they were hurting me, they were wounding my pride. They were looking at me like I was garbage. So I picked up the largest specimen, Jimmy, and I sucked it down to show them that their attempts to hurt my pride would not be successful. I thought, Jimmy, that I'd shown them. But then sure enough, the story became exaggerated, as everything in life does, and it no longer became, well, Mickey Foley ate one worm because some kids were picking on him. It became Mickey Foley eats a plate full of worms every day. Do you think I got many dates after that, Jimmy?
Probably not.
Do you think girls wanted to kiss a boy who had worms on his breath? I'm a good kisser, but I never got the chance to show it. What am I going to do, practice on myself, Jimmy? I never had the chance to show the world that I could love and could be loved, because they ruled me out because I had a strange appetite for strange things. I'm not going to say I didn't accept money to eat other strange things, but the fact is the damage had been done, and I went through my entire high school days without date number one. You don't think that scarred my soul? Well, maybe you're not looking deep enough.
Next week, we'll look deep into Mankind's scarred soul. He'll share his unfulfilled boyhood dream of becoming Dude Love, a wrestler not unlike Shawn Michaels. Also, Mick Foley's disturbing psychological evolution, including his years as Cactus Jack.
I was a deathmatch champion, and I had the ability to make people sick.
Okay.
Welcome back, everybody, to Raw, brought to you tonight by the WWF
interview.
Magazine.
And they'll get part two next week. King now says that Paulie won't allow RVD to be on Raw anymore. Contractually, he owns him and won't let him be on Raw, because last week we got the debut of Mr. Monday Night. I remember when that happened, I was like, ooh, look at this. And it's funny timing, because guess who just showed back up in TNA?
Yeah, RVD.
Yeah, with that awful, awful music. It is the worst entrance music ever. Ever.
I haven't heard it.
Oh my God, I got to send it to you. All it is they fucking yell out his moves. It goes doom, 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 RVD, doom, 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 frog splash, doom, 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 five star splash. That's all he does is yell his fucking moves. Like Van Daminator. I'm like, oh my God. This is some
does he still do all his moves?
I don't fucking know. I didn't watch that shit. I haven't watched TNA in fucking years. Ever since I was like trying to cut my cable bill down, and that was one of the channels that went. I'm like, I don't care. Leaf Cassidy versus the debut of a new youngster to the roster. Do you remember who this debut is by? Test your knowledge. He became someone later, but it would take a while.
This isn't where Leif Cassidy loses to Scott Podsky, is it?
No. No, that's not yet. I think that's next week, actually.
No, go on. Tell me who it is. I'll remember if you tell me, I think.
Yeah, Scott Taylor.
Oh, it's not a big deal.
Scotty Tuhati. I wouldn't remember
that. Yeah, I know, but I wouldn't remember that.
Yeah, he didn't even look like himself at all. Austin looks for a partner in the back, which is very fucking funny, because he asks Sable, and he walks into her fucking room while her back is turned, and she's, like, topless, and she's holding Austin's shirt over her tits, and she's like, excuse me, you know, how dare you? And he's like, oh, sorry, I didn't hear you, honey. She goes, I said just a minute, because he knocked. And she goes, just a minute, and he opens the door. And then when he leaves, she says something like, close the door, and he closes it, and then he opens it back up, and he goes, what'd you say? Trying to get a glimpse of the titties. After this, you have the Hart Foundation talking in the ring, and HBK is on the Titantron. And this is the famous promo where he talks about sunny days.
Not it. I didn't think so. All right, here we go. No wheelchair this week.
Do me a big favor and please just shut up. You know, it's not too much to ask for. Americans are full of this freedom of speech and freedom of expression. Well, last week, the great American hero, Shawn Michaels, he wouldn't even allow me my right to free speech. To me, it's just typical that all you rednecks here and all the rest of the American scum coast to coast, y'all speak with a forked tongue because I have a right to free speech. Isn't that true? Last week, your great American hero proved that he's no better than Stone Cold Steve Austin. That he's got to take it upon himself to beat up on an invalid, a person that can't even defend himself. But I guess that's what makes him an American hero. Shawn Michaels, frankly, I could give a damn who you pick for a partner next week. I could care less. I don't know too many guys that even want to be aligned with you because your days are numbered. But I'm going to cut right to the chase. Everybody wants to know, everybody around the world, my true fans around the world, and you scum in particular who hang on every single word that I have. You all want to know what my big surprise is. Shawn Michaels, the boy toy. He's announced that he's finally recovered from this knee injury. And he's going to heroically come back at the King of the Ring. How quaint. Shawn Michaels, there's somebody else. There's a real hero. And a real man that's going to come back at the King of the Ring with a bad knee. And that real man and that real hero is me.
That's ambitious.
Against everybody's heartfelt, kind, gracious considerations, the Hart Foundation, Brian Pillman, my family, and all the millions of cards and letters that I get from the rest of the world, they're all concerned about me coming back with a bad knee. But Shawn Michaels, I want to issue you a challenge, an offer that you can't refuse. I want to challenge you to a match at the King of the Ring. And if I can't beat you in less than 10 minutes, I promise that I will never, ever wrestle in the United States of America again.
What? Never wrestle in the United States again?
10 minutes.
Now, just before anybody gets their hopes up too high.
You know something? You talk about this freedom of speech thing. Last week you had all the freedom in the world. You talked so much, we went off air listening to you babble. But now let's get to the match. Let's get to the challenge. Brett, last WrestleMania, you couldn't beat me in 60 minutes. What in the world makes you think that you can beat me in 10 minutes? Oh, wait, I know what it is. It's that gang you got around you, you see? That's what it is. Because I know mano a mano, you wouldn't have a chance. But you know something, Brett? I want all your boys down there. I want your whole crew down there, Brett.
They'll be down there.
Oh, will they? Do I have that promise from you? Do I have that promise from you? They'll all be there?
Where I go, the Hart Foundation goes.
All righty, well, I've got one little stipulation. Each one of your men must be handcuffed to a ring post.
Wait a minute.
That way, you hitman and I can settle this thing once and for all. None of your goons jumping in, none of your excuses that we have heard for over a year. We are going to find out once and for all if Brett the Hitman Hart can get beat like a man. Because Brett, believe me, you couldn't go 10 minutes in any situation, if you know what I mean.
Oh boy.
And
listen here, Shawn Michaels.
Even though lately you've had some sunny days, my friend, you still can't get the job done. The Heartbreak Kid coming off a knee injury, you coming off a knee injury, they're all handcuffed. Hitman, I'm going to knock you down and drag you out.
Okay, so you're on.
What?
I accept. You accept. We'll put the Hart Foundation. You can handcuff them to whatever corner you want.
What?
And I got a chance. 10 minutes is all I need to smoke you, Shawn Michaels, or I'll never set foot in the United States of America with my wrestling boots again.
Bret Hart,
whoa! Unbelievable!
Bret Hart, Bret Hart, you can smoke me all you want. What you've got to do is beat me, which you cannot do. Bret, you, my friend, do not have a snowball's chance in hell of beating the Heartbreak Kid. Believe me when I tell you.
Ah, how about it? The Hitman, Bret Hart, and Shawn Michaels at the King of the Ring. And the Hart Foundation handcuffed to the ring post? What's that all about? What is Bret thinking?
So, the weirdest thing happens after this. At least, well, I wouldn't say maybe weirdest, but most douche chills. And that is Goldust calling out Marlena and his daughter. How fucking did you crawl under your fucking couch when you watched this part? Uncomfortable.
I recall it when, is this when they put her on the mic?
Yeah, and she kept grabbing the microphone, dad, and it was like, they're trying to make her say something, and it was like, it was just to humanize Goldust and make him a good guy. It was fucking awful.
Yeah, it almost makes him, like, more dislikable. Because this is an era where you want to just see, like Pillman, like, fucking rape his wife and murder the kid. So, I mean, this is what the fans are like at this point. It's not really going to work.
And he's like, this is the joy of my life and all this shit.
Why do I care? Oh, my God. I didn't even care. I didn't even care then, to be honest. I mean, it's not just since I became desensitized to the world. Like, it was, mm-hmm. I was, even as a kid, like, I didn't see the point of this.
Yeah, I mean, it was just to make him look, hey, I'm not gay. That's all this was.
But why were you acting gay?
Oh, it's mind games. That's all. He's master of mind games. We get Goldust versus Old Rockabilly, and let's get Goldust over. Fuck it. He takes the guitar from Honky Tonk Man and El Cabong's Honky Tonk Man and gets disqualified. Why is that a disqualification? He hits Honky Tonk Man.
It's subjective, I guess.
So
subjective
wins.
Subjective refereeing, yeah.
Yeah. Next clip for you. Ahmed Johnson talks in the black.
In the black.
Thank you. Which is perfect because he starts yelling about that there's never been a black champion. You know what? You actually don't need to fucking hear that nonsense. We just fucking told you what happened. He just yells that there's no black champion. I mean, what the hell is Ahmed Johnson talking about? Fucking Kofi Kingston's the champion. Why would he fucking say that?
You know what was funny in this, and where he was going, he goes, I don't like Farouk, but I agree with him. He goes, we've had shots, but we've never won the title. It's like, well, then that's your fault. What's he saying here? Like, is he saying that, oh, like, we're never booked to win? Like, what's he saying here?
There's a little crossover of...
K5, moron. Like I didn't understand. I picked up on that straight away. He was going, because he went... We're never the champion. And then he went, we get shots, but we never win. It's like, then I was like, huh?
We might get shots, but you never let us win.
If you get shots, like, that's surely all you can ask for, like, on TV. Like, that was just fucking weird.
And they also pull out the whole thing where he goes, Farouk asked you a question last week that you couldn't answer. No, Vince answered it when he said how many, you know, black champions has there been? And he says, many have had shots and none have become champion. No, none. We've never had a black champion. Like, he told, what do you mean he couldn't answer it? No, I answered. There hasn't been any. I see Austin says Harvey Whippleman's going to be his tag team partner. He forces him. That's what this is going to be. It's going to be Harvey Whippleman. Rocky Maivia versus Farouk. A little bit of a fucking seed planted, Billy. A little bit. He beats Rocky. You know, how interesting is it that they just start making Rocky lose? Where he was the hot shit, and the crowd's not even booing Rock either. So it was like, why would they have go to change him that quickly into a bad guy? Obviously, it gets there. But the crowd's not, like, hating him. And they just, like, go, fuck it, he's no good, and start having him lose. And at the end, the Nation starts beating up Rock, and Farouk calls him off and says not to. Because he does the whole in the beginning thing that, hey, we're the same color. We shouldn't be fucking fighting. And Rocky says, fuck you. How dare you? I fight for people. So that was a little interesting thing to look about for the future. You go, oh, I see that... Farouk was protecting him, so you see the planted seed. Bob Holly is beat up in the back by the Hart Foundation. In-ring interview, Undertaker is in the ring with Vince, and he addresses that Paul Bearer has a secret. And they fucking talk, they start going into the fucking race card again. I'm like, look at all the fucking race card shit going on here. And Paul Bearer shows up on the TitanTron.
Secret does Paul Bearer know on The Undertaker? And will The Undertaker address it here tonight?
We saw in action a few minutes ago the man whom you will face at the King of the Ring as you defend the World Wrestling Federation Championship against Farooq. However, before we talk about Farooq, I'd like to ask you about last week, the comments made by Paul Bearer that he had a secret he was about to unveil, that he swore on your parents' grave he would not tell. And I wonder if you could enlighten us somewhat as it relates to that.
Well, I'd like to take this time to talk about Farooq. Last week, Farooq decided to play the race card. Well, Farooq, you need to understand that The Undertaker, he's not the white savior, because I don't recognize color. I'm not white. I'm not black. What I am is the reaper of wayward souls. And when it's all said and done, and the King of the Ring is all over, and you're sitting in their dressing room, and you're wondering why you're not the World Wrestling Federation champion, well, you can rest assured, it's not because you're black. It's because you couldn't beat The Undertaker.
Ask him about the
secret. Before you go, just if you would care to comment on what Paul Bearer had to say last week about that secret.
This is not the time.
Oh, yes, it is, dead man!
Uh-oh.
It is the time right now! I suggest you listen to me for a change. Remember that dark morning, that drizzly morning when we lowered your mother and father's casket into the dark, wormy earth? Remember when I stood there and I promised that I would never let that secret out? You know what I'm talking about, Undertaker. The secret that I know. That fire has opened up some old wounds, Undertaker. You burned me, and now it's my turn to hurt you. It's time.
Paul, wait.
Wait! Wait! Why should I wait? I don't know you anything, Undertaker. I'm going to reveal to the whole wide world what the secret is. I'm going to open up Pandora's box.
Paul.
You come back to me, Undertaker. Come back to me now, or I will tell it all. Now, Undertaker.
I need more time.
Need more time. Need more time? Okay, maybe I do owe you a little bit. How does 7 days sound, dead man? I'll give you 7 sunsets. And then if you're not back with me, if you're not subservient to me, I will open Pandora's box and human eye has not seen or human ear heard the secret I have on you. It's all over but the crying. Oh, yes!
All right, so Undertaker, bows down, and he's all worried about fucking, Paul gonna tell his fucking secret, so he's gotta fucking wait, he's gotta figure it out. He's gotta figure out what he's gonna do. Anvil versus, Anvil versus Austin, sorry. Foundation show up, of course, and Pillman was commentating during this and shows up with a crutch, and it's disqualification. HBK then shows up with a chair. Everybody fucking runs wild at the end of this, fighting each other. JR gets in the ring with Austin and HBK and says, Gorilla said that next week the two of you have to tag team. Sorry. And they're like, what? This is bullshit. But, hey, he goes, don't tell me. Gorilla said. Gorilla said. And that's the end of Raw. So let's jump over to Nitro. And Nitro starts off, because it's the day after Slamboree, it starts off with Mean Gene and Ric Flair. And Six shows up. And he says... I'll let the interview play, and I'll have a comment afterwards.
Nature Boy, the party is spilling over from Charlotte, North Carolina, here into the streets of Asheville. The celebration's still going on. You and WCW successful at Slamboree last night.
Mean Gene!
Thank you.
We are live in Asheville, North Carolina. And last night, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the greatest thrill of my wrestling career.
That's probably an understatement, Ric Flair.
I erased self-doubt. I erased a difference in philosophy with the big boys from the NWO. I was able, by the grace of the good Lord, to walk that aisle.
Amen.
Woo! With the great Kevin Green and the Hot Rod. And I promise you that instead of putting this to the side, I know now I want back it.
What is this? What is going on here? Give me some help, please, guys. What is happening? What is this? This interview time has been allocated to the Nature Boy. Who do you think you are?
Let me explain something to you for a quick second. First of all, you guys beat no one last night. In our opinion, and it's a fact, the wrong guy was in the ring. Second thing I want to talk to you about in front of everybody.
Richard.
Is this. I heard you say, I don't know about you, Nash, or you, Hall. But you know you can take me. It's more like the other way around, Flair. After last night, being in the ring with you, I know I can take you. I dominated you. And if you got the guts...
He's got them.
Because we call the shots... We can do it tonight, right here and now. If you got them, baby.
You got a pair of them. I don't mind telling you, Ric Flair.
You know, I'm going to say it one more time. Hall, Nash, I do not know about for sure. But you, my friend, are like a fly in the ointment. And in Asheville, I am going to kick your flyweight ass, pal.
Oh, hey, we got action.
Watch out, we got action over here, too. Gentlemen, hang on here now.
Wait, Six is running out of here like the coward he is. Big talk from a little man.
Holy Moses. Fans, let's go to the ring. And it's great to be with you. This.
All right. So how was the wrong guy in the ring last night when all three were in the fucking ring at the same time?
I think he said you pinned the wrong guy, didn't he?
I think he just said the wrong guy was in the ring last night. So, you know, forget that. And it was like, well, but I'm like, well, I don't even know if the pin counted. It was a submission, a fucking pass out, and a pin at the same time. So there's kind of like no way to fucking get around it. And everybody's yelling about Nick Patrick shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Yeah, I thought they like beat all of them. So
yes, exactly. That was pretty much how it fucking went. Prince Iaukea versus Regal for the television title. Regal wins this. And then it's Dave Taylor versus Masa My Hero Chono. And Chono wins with the STFU. After this, it's always that first hour that's like, eh, fucking shit. You know, it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
You have three clips here in a row. And it is Gene talking with Sonny Ono. And he tells Masa that next week he's going to have a new guy. And he's going to fucking show him next week. He's going to get got because he turned NWO and all that shit. So he's bringing in a new guy. Now, here is something very fucking interesting. And the reason why there is the two clips back to back for this piece is that they come back from commercial. And it is James J. Dillon talking about reinstating Nick Patrick. And he goes, he's reinstated. And I'm like, well, didn't he referee last night? What do you mean he's reinstated now? He was on last night.
Yeah.
And then they come back and go, and here's a word from fucking J.J. fucking Dillon. And he says it again. I go, this is modern day fucking Triple H and Michael Cole. He does the same exact announcement twice. Like, they, yeah. Why did they put the tape on twice? But here it is.
See, I just thought, then the whole thing with him doesn't make any sense anyway. Like, I don't get why they're doing so much around this referee. Anyway, I just find it annoying.
It's trying to get him back so he was be a normal referee, and it's like, well, how do you do it? Here's the clip.
Gene Okerlund.
Yeah, goodbye, Mike. Thank you very much. I am joined right now by the entrepreneur and wrestling aficionado. I'm not so certain he doesn't take a little dough on the side under the table. I'm talking about Sonny Ono. Sonny Ono, you were watching the great Chono very closely there. He's now a member of the NWO.
As you witnessed last night, I can make or destroy a champion. And Chono, I'm a businessman and not a fighter. But you have a debt to pay with me and all New Japan. Next week at Nitro, I have your worst nightmare, and you will have a match with him.
Whoa, wait a minute. You've got to be more specific than that.
What
the heck is he saying?
He wants to know who. No, you're going to sweat. You're going to sweat just like what you did to me, and you'll wait till next week. You'll be your worst nightmare.
Sonny Ono, his worst nightmare. Can you be a little more specific?
No, I want to make him sweat.
Masahiro Chono getting a promise here from Sonny Ono that next week he's got a surprise for you. I don't know. Give me a break. Stay tuned. We've got more Nitro Live here on TNT.
This past week, the executive committee convened to consider the petition by referee Nick Patrick for reinstatement to World Championship Wrestling. We allowed Mr. Patrick to appear in person to plead his case, and based on the comments that he made, based on his impeccable past record, and especially in light of his actions last night at Slamboree, we have made it official that effective 9 a.m. this morning, Monday, May 19th, Nick Patrick is officially reinstated. However, he will be on a probationary basis for the first 30 days, and we will review all of his actions during that period of time. And we certainly hope that Nick Patrick will continue to show that he is deserving of this second chance.
Back on Nitro, we have this statement from the head of the WCW Championship Committee, Mr. James J. Dillon. Let's hear from James J. right now.
This past week, the executive committee convened to consider the petition by referee Nick Patrick for reinstatement to World Championship Wrestling. We allowed Mr. Patrick to appear in person to plead his case, And based on the comments that he made, based on his impeccable past record, and especially in light of his actions last night at Slamboree, we have made it official that effective 9 a.m. this morning, Monday, May 19th, Nick Patrick is officially reinstated. However, he will be on a probationary basis for the first 30 days, and we will review all of his actions during that period of time. And we certainly hope that Nick Patrick will continue to show that he is deserving of this second chance.
So after this, you get Wall Street. Now, how fucking weird is this? Michael Wall Street versus Scotty Riggs. And they have told Mr. Wall Street he's not allowed to wear NWO stuff because he's under contract to WCW. And it's not valid then. He has to be. He has to be. He can't be like. He can't wear NWO stuff, so he wears WCW with a fucking Ghostbuster symbol through it.
But
you're not allowed to be NWO because you're under contract with WCW. That's the fucking reasoning. Well, isn't everybody? What about Hogan?
They're insinuating that everybody waited for their contract to expire before they signed for the NWO.
See, I'm like, the only ones that should be NWO then are the people who came in, like DiBiase, Six, Hall and Nash. I think that's it. Virgil, he came in. But Hogan shouldn't be allowed to be NWO.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like that, I think the ones that turned, obviously, it wasn't explained, but their contracts must have expired, or they were able to, or they had different contracts to him. He must have had like a watertight WCW, which is weird because, like, as a someone that works for the government, he would have sorted it out for himself to have more freedom than that. But he was, because he came from like a government job.
I love
before.
It. Yeah, of course. He worked for the government.
That's almost the rib.
Oh my God. I just can't believe they're like, no, you're not allowed. He has to sit there. Fuck, I can't wear my colors. So I'll just wear WCW with X's all through it. Gene Okerlund with Mark Martin and Ric Flair. Have a listen.
Come on, run a tape machine.
Let's go to Mean Gene.
Woo! All right, guys, sounds like you're having a lot of fun. This is Val Valine Live. You know, WCW Motorsports is very near and dear to me. We've been following it for a number of years, and ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure, Val Valine, of course, being a big part of WCW Monday Nitro, to introduce to you a man who is on a torrid pace on the NASCAR circuit. Please welcome to Nitro, Mark Martin. He is joined by his good friend, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. They're hanging from the rafters here tonight. Mark, great to have you aboard. Great for our association, WCW Motorsports, Valvoline, and of course you. Now, Mark, obviously, we're taking a look at this automobile. That's got to be part of the reason you're here tonight.
Well, it is. Valvoline and I are going to give away this car.
Ho, wait a minute. You're going to give this car away? How?
Well, all you have to do to sign up is go anywhere that they sell Valvoline, and you can register to win between now and June 25th. Or for more information, you can call 1-800-TEAM-VAL. And you know, next to NASCAR, I'm a big WCW fan, so I want one of you guys to win this car.
How about that?
And this weekend, I'm going to go down to Charlotte and win that race for all you WCW fans.
Wait a minute now. Mark Martin, Charlotte, North Carolina, the home of the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Is that okay with you?
It's a great thrill to be out here with Mark Martin. Mark, I want you to stick around long enough to watch me run Six into the wall, brother.
Woo! WCW Motorsports, WCW Mark Martin, win this car. Stay tuned. We are live on TNT. This is WCW Monday Nitro.
I checked what he did that race.
What race?
Mark Martin.
Who's Mark Martin? You've lost me.
I thought you were laughing about this, that this is what was going on Nitro. The fucking race car driver comes out there for a fucking interview with the Valvoline fucking race car.
Oh, yeah, because I've forgotten who it is. Oh, at the time I was laughing. Yeah, because it's like, why is this on it? This is the thing.
And they're giving away a race car.
I always say this is like, is this a thing in America? Like,
oh,
is
yes.
This or is this like Southern? Is this the difference where it's like it's Southern? I always think like WCW is like very Southern, but like yes. When this is on, okay, like so the thing is like WWE is very like North, but the thing is that the North stuff mm-hmm. that they promote here, the stuff that like WWF's from the North and the stuff that they talk about in the North translates to
everyone.
A overseas audience. Yeah, like yes. So what's big in New York is big in England. But when you do the Southern shit, even though it might, you know, relate to a big portion of your audience, when we see it, it's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of this person. I don't know why this is on. Like, that's the difference between the two companies. One is the World Wrestling Federation, and one is basically the Southern
Wrestling Federation.
Oh, yeah, at least the American Wrestling Federation, because WCW was never got to the world level.
Yeah, see, NASCAR here is very big, but it has that niche. There is, it's almost like, I mean, and it does go in tune with wrestling fans. Wrestling fans do go hand in hand with fucking NASCAR for the most part. And that's like a big thing. People go to these fucking races at Daytona. They sit there and watch car go in a fucking circle. I've tried the same as I've tried with soccer. And I go, it's a sport. I should be able to fucking enjoy it and get... I mean, at least I could give soccer way more of a fucking shot than this. At least there's people running around. This fucking race car. People do watch for the fucking crash because there is... I mean, you're watching a car go in a circle. The video games are fun. That's a fun fucking time. The same as soccer video games are fun. But, yeah. I checked what he did that weekend in the race, and I fucking looked it up. Look at me doing homework. Third place, not bad. He did well. So usually that's better than like the NWO car. I think fucking crashed the first week they had it, and I was I'd always like, oh, I hope these people fucking lose every time, because then I saw Bob Holly had a car, you know. So I was like, fuck, I need Bob Holly to win.
Yeah, as I said, completely
foreign.
Nothing. Yeah, completely for you guys.
Yeah. Steiner Brothers versus Mongo and Jeff Jarrett. Kevin Green shows and El Kabong's Mongo. Steiners win this match. Mongo gets up and goes and beats up Kevin Green in the back. I love that Kevin Green, he was just standing in the back hanging out after he did this to Mongo. Like he wasn't going to get fucking got back. Six versus Ric Flair. How about that? Ric Flair wins. Hall and Nash show up, disqualification. And then they beat the shit out of Ric Flair. And we get two clips here. One is Hall and Nash talking in the ring right afterwards. They're talking to Ric Flair like he wasn't there. And then Bischoff talks in the ring, and he demands that, you know, he wants to talk to Sting.
He's out cold right now. And you know, he's got a history of back injuries.
Ric Flair!
He was in that plane crash.
You said last night was your finest moment. Well, what's tonight, Rick, huh? It's no longer about anything except putting Ric Flair out of business, putting Piper out of business. Piper, you better be strapped. Sitting up there on that mountain, because we're going to bum rush you, old man.
Hey, yo. Hey, Flair. Look at you now. Hey. Hey, Kev. Call the Smithsonian. Tell him we got one half of that dinosaur exhibit they were looking for.
Shut his mic off.
Piper. We'll be sending him that second half of it real soon.
Jurassic Dream Team.
Everybody knows when you're Wolfpack, you're Wolfpack for life.
And when you're NWO, Everybody knows you're just too sweet.
All right. I love you people. Each and every one of you. Especially you guys. You know, last week, and what about Six and Holland Nash? Are they too much or what? You don't want to make them mad. Trust me, I know. You know, last week in Baltimore, I had something I wanted to say to Sting. In fact, I wanted to talk to Sting so badly, I've called his home. I've left messages at the gym where he used to work out. We even hired a private detective agency to try to find him and keep track of him so that I could invite him here to Asheville. Stop it. So I could invite him here to Asheville to say this to his face, but we can't find him. We look there, he's not there. He's not in the locker room, he's not in Asheville. And you know why? Because he's a coward.
Oh, for crying out
loud. He's a gutless, spineless coward.
This is a joke.
And everybody's talking about he's so consumed with his hatred for Hollywood Hogan. Well, listen. Sting, wherever you may be hiding, you will never get in the ring with Hollywood Hogan. And you know why? Because I love you, Sting. And because you are not worth a drop of Hollywood's perspiration. You should worship the ground that he spits on. It ain't happening. Give it up, Sting. I know you people feel the same way I feel. I feel your love for Hollywood. And by the way, Sting, I wish you were here tonight because I would take the opportunity to slap the paint right off of your face.
Well,
yeah, you'd want to see that too, wouldn't you?
You popped up from the ring.
Your opportunity is right.
You want to see that?
Is right now.
Get him!
Oh! He nailed him.
There's a loophole.
Bischoff is out. Out cold.
You pop up right through there.
Hogan's not gonna like this.
Who cares what Hogan likes?
Exactly. There he is.
Well, why don't Hollywood do something about it?
Those eyes burning a hole from Nitro Live all the way to Hollywood. Incredibly, shockingly, Sting arrives. Sting is here on Nitro, and we gotta go.
I don't see any new world order, cowards.
Do it again.
And that is how we go off the air with Bischoff and the whole Sting deal. Next week's even funnier when it comes to fucking Sting, which I'll have a lot to talk about on that one. Your overall thoughts? Thought Raw is a better show?
Yeah, of course. Always.
It does. It seems to be always. Well, check us out next week when we will have another show for you guys. And it is back to the Monday Night War. Tell a friend. And the format will be changing in July. It'll be even better for you guys. Quick, digestible, and succinct. For Billy Body, I'm Cav Manning. We're out of time.